and sing along. Yeah. Rap is so boring, now correct me if I'm wrong. Yeah. It's like they took the art form. I'm tired of the same rap songs.
Good evening, this is Sean P.
I'm Big Group.
And we are the Brothers.
Coming to you live from the Boogie Down Bronx.
And bringing you another episode of the Brothers. Today's topic is agree to disagree. And Big Group, you know, we were just talking off air about the topic we wanted to discuss tonight. And there's so much going on in our country, in our world. There's so much problems with discourse. So recently, a few days ago, one congresswoman said to another, there's one congresswoman, she's a Republican. I'm not sure what state what district she represents. Her name is Congresswoman Boebert, and she made a statement against Congresswoman Omar. And basically what she said was some joke to the effect that she didn't have a backpack on, so we should be okay. Basically alluding to the fact that she, you know, she's a terrorist because of her last name and how she looked, and she's an openly practicing, you know, Muslim. And there was very little condemnation from her side of the aisle as far as that was an inappropriate statement, a racist statement. And so basically what we see now is racism and religious bigotry being brought to the floor of Congress. So just starting for our episode for our listeners, we're basically as low as we can go now. So now it's not even about political discourse or any type of real debate policy-wise, whatever. Basically, we're name-calling and, in a sense, race-baiting. So again, when we say today's topic of agree to disagree, there was a time when we understood that we didn't always have the same ideas and thoughts, and, you know, we could debate and have different belief systems, but we had a certain commonality, and it seems that commonality's gone.
Yeah, and the problem I have with this is that, you know, this person's not being held accountable. Because if you and me went to work and we made some comments about any particular group, we could be held, you know, accountable for our statements, might be suspended and or fired.
Exactly. And again, we mentioned, do we want to go far enough back to see how we got to this point, the point we're at, and where we go from here? And maybe it is helpful for our listeners just to go back. Because there was a time during the 80s, and there was a time with Ronald Reagan, conservative president, Republican, whether he was liked or not by everybody, and he was liked by a great amount of people, he was respected. And there was this understanding that we don't have to agree, we could agree to disagree, but we would do so respectfully. And it seems that that process is degraded. Eventually Clinton came to office. A lot of people like Clinton. The culture war started throughout the 90s. And by the time Bush was elected, Bush 2, it just seemed to really degrade. And then we can go right through the Obama presidency, right to President Trump. So there's been a downward slide where on some level we used to be able to agree to disagree. And then it got to the point where we just don't agree. There's just no commonality. Yet people in Congress, you think that they're, you know, warring nations and just have no ability to communicate with each other.
Yep, I totally agree with you. I mean, it's so bad that I even think years ago when I was a kid, and again, I wasn't really following politics and things like that when I was very young, but there seemed to be a certain level of respect that was given to people who were in public office. And I think that we've lost a lot of that in this country. You know, people were making jokes about Bush Jr. when he was president, about his intellect. Obviously, a lot of people making these jokes are really funny because he went to Harvard or Yale or, you know, Ivy League school. So definitely he's intelligent, but they would have, you know, they would question his intelligence. And those things weren't done when I was a kid. As far as I remember, once you had a certain position, you were had a certain amount of respect was garnered in your direction.
That's a really good point. That's a very good point, because you're right. there was a time when you would respect someone's title, someone's position, someone's accomplishments, even if you didn't respect them personally, even if you didn't like them, you would respect what they'd accomplished. And you're right. It seemed we got to a point where I don't really care about your accomplishments, so I don't really care about the title you hold anymore. I just don't like you. And more importantly, I don't respect you. And I think you made a really good point there where there was this respect of office and respect of prestige, just, you know, officially, right? I might talk about you behind your back, but I certainly wouldn't talk about you to your face, certainly not in a public forum. And you're right, that seemed to just gone out the window. There was a lot of talk about Bush and his accent, the way he spoke. So I think that that definitely is a good point you made right there.
Yeah, because it's just a matter of common courtesy. Like you said, respecting when someone's accomplished to get where they are in life, as opposed to, you know, I don't like him, so I can talk about him any way I want. And that's something that to me is more of a modern phenomenon than something that's been going on for years.
Agreed. I know for our listeners and just in general, I don't like to make every conversation about race. Not because I have a problem of not discussing race when it's a core issue. I just think sometimes it's not always a core issue. But I do think that some of what we see, certainly in the example we gave to our listeners to open up the episode, obviously what was said to Congresswoman Omar was racist. It was bigoted. But I bring it up also to say that I think when you go through the litany of presidents from President Reagan on, and then we get to President, you know, 44, President Obama, we have to say that that's where there was a discourse that went to that dispersonal, unprofessional, disrespectful level. Going back to the birth certificate movement, the birth movement, things of that nature, where it was no more, I don't like you or I don't respect you as a person. I don't even think that you're worthy of the title you have. And I think that's where something changed. I think that's where, because personally, we talked about before, right? If I was him, I would have showed my birth certificate after you got the other 43. You would have had to get the 43 ahead of me, make that the new standard, and then I would have joined into that standard. I would not have been the first one. You're not going to ask for my birth certificate.
What's going on, man? I don't understand it. I want something good to listen to. I demand it. All the real artists on another planet. And me, I'm the last MC still standing.
Oh, exactly. That was something that he should have done and should have, you know, brought that point up. But what you're saying is totally true. It's like there's a total disconnect. And, you know, before that, there was always, you know, we're talking about the president or Mr. President, as opposed to, oh, his name is Obama.
Yeah, and I think, to your point, that disrespect that really kind of stood out, it really did, I guess, separate and divide the country. Because it went from a status of, we can agree or disagree to, we can't agree to disagree. We don't disagree. And I think that's part of where we are now. So again, I mean, I don't know if we want to just have the race conversation, right? Because maybe that's the problem. Maybe when it comes to race, we can't agree to disagree, right? Maybe the nature of that conversation, that topic is one that if we don't get it right, if we don't find a commonality, then we are doomed. Again, I don't know. I don't know if it's bigger than race or it's not bigger than race. But I think going back to the core topic we're talking about tonight, can we agree to disagree? Like, one, is that an actual reality? Is that something in a functional democracy that can happen where we don't have to agree on certain things or everything? Or are we at a point now that we can't? We just can't agree. I don't know. That's what I'm saying. I guess that's the conversation.
Well, again, it seems to me in my you know, not that I'm that old, but I've lived through several different administrations. And I remember when I was younger, to me, you could have people who had different points of view, but were still able to come to a compromise. And nowadays, it seems there is no room for compromise. Either you're on my team and we all agree to the same thing or we don't. We're not going to debate. You can't sway my point of view based on logic. I'm only going to vote based on what political party I belong to.
Right, exactly. But that being said now, can we agree to disagree? Like, meaning, can Republicans and Democrats both operate in the same houses of Congress, the Senate and the House of Representatives, on both sides of the aisle? Like, can they agree to disagree on certain things and find common ground on certain things? Or has that day passed? Because I was listening to some news reports earlier, and there are a lot of political scientists, a lot of political analysts who really believe that our democracy is this close to being done. The American experiment is this close to being done. And we talked about this before. The average person seems to go about their daily life as if everything is just normal, right? And there are other people saying, listen, we're at the edge. We're at the edge. The United States has not been this close to the edge, certainly not since the Civil War. And that's not hyperbole. That's saying, to the point we're saying, how can you have two elected parties sharing the same Congress if they can't agree to agree or disagree or disagree to agree or whatever? If they can't communicate, if they cannot work, if they cannot pass laws, if they cannot function in the same body, what is going to happen?
Oh, that's very good points that you're making. And I would have to say, I don't have an answer. I really don't know. Could be government collapse. It could be some kind of restructuring that needs to happen. I really don't know what's going to happen.
Okay. So can we say that maybe it's no longer acceptable to agree or disagree? Maybe agreement is something that we have to actually make the standard? Because maybe before agreeing to disagree, having different political parties, maybe that's an outdated concept. Right. And the reason why I say that is, you know me, I'm a registered independent. And I've been a registered independent for over 30 years. And I actually believe in being independent because, again, as a citizen, you have minimal benefits in voting as part of a political party. Different states have different rules. Some states you can only vote in a primary if you register in that party. Some states you can vote across party primaries, things of that nature. Right. But as a citizen, you have no benefit to being part of a political party. Political parties are there to support the candidates, right? You basically get the resources of the party, the affiliation of the party, the platform of the party. So if I'm a candidate, I want to be a Republican or a Democrat or whatever. As a citizen, I just want to vote. I just want to vote for the person that makes the most sense to me. But I think so many people over the last couple centuries, even decades, certainly believe that they have to be part of a party. And then that kind of feeds this groupthink where I'm not thinking about my own interests. I'm just part of this team.
Oh, well said. Well said. I think that is the case. Most people find themselves to be either Republicans or Democrats. I think in the years past, a lot of us would tend to vote on what issues affected us directly as opposed to what the party believes. I think now, it's strictly we go by party lines and not even in your own self-interest. Because a lot of times there's people that were voting against, say, Obamacare when they're the same people that was going to take advantage of it.
No, you're right. You're right. And there are people who said it. I don't like Obamacare, but I like the Affordable Care Act. Right. And they literally say it. And we know they're talking about the same thing. But in their mind, they disassociated one from the other. So the Affordable Care Act was good. Obamacare, which was a nickname for Affordable Care, was bad because it was associated with Obama. So I think you make a really good point there. And I think as we talk this point out more, maybe the answer is for people to break away from political parties. Maybe the answer is for everybody to just change their affiliation to independent and then just vote for the person you like. Maybe that's actually the solution, which goes back to our title now, right? Because now we say, all right, guess what? We can no longer agree to disagree. So let's agree. Let's agree to all be independent, and let's agree to not support political parties, and let's agree to vote for candidates that we like.
That sounds like a novel idea. And I think that's why you've been independent for the last 30 years, and you kind of realize that I'm just going to vote for the person that's best meets my needs, or who's putting a position that's going to help me and my family and in the right direction. And most people are just locked into this, like you said, ideological. I'm a Republican or Democrat, not really what's in my best interest.
Exactly. And I mean, if you just think it through, we've had other conversations about voting processes and things of that nature. And then that would give legitimate third party and even fourth party candidates a legitimate chance. Because guess what? You hear me in an interview, in a debate, you like what I have to say. Hey, you know what? I'm going to vote for candidate D instead of the two major party candidates just because I like them. Just because I like what they say, I want to give them a chance. So I'm really saying, or we're really saying to put this forward because, again, there are a lot of people saying the system is not going to maintain. And I think that's something that has not reached the general electorate yet. And that's probably good because we're already at odds with so many things right now. If people said our democracy was over, then that really might be the straw that breaks our back as far as us not even being civil anymore. Like, we're still civil. We're still relatively respectful to each other, right? Despite all the violence and the chaos we see. I think if somehow this understanding that our democracy just doesn't work anymore, that might literally just push us over the edge.
Tired of the same rap songs. Every new hit should sing along. Rap is so boring, now correct me if I'm wrong. It's like they took the art form. I'm tired of the same rap songs.
No, I agree with you 100%. That reminds me of a scene from, I don't know if it was The Big Short or it was another, it might have been the movie with Kevin Spacey, where things were going to turn as far as financial. But it's just like everybody, they were saying that basically everyone walks around like they're in an oblivion. They don't know what's really going on. If they really know what's going on, they'd be very scared.
You know? Exactly.
But everyone's just going through the motions of going through life and not really focusing on the big picture.
Exactly. That was Margin Call. That was when they were in the car. I remember the scene, they were in the car talking. And yeah. To your point, that's what they were saying. Like, yeah, everyone is oblivious to what's really going on. And again, that might not be a bad thing. I mean, we can have other conversations later. We've had conversations before. I don't want to debate the nature of democracy. One thing we've always talked about with our father, you know, who's passed, and he would have loved to have been on this episode with us. But I told Dad, there's some conversations you have in political science classrooms, and there's some things that are in the real world, and they're not the same. When we talk about in the classroom, it's theoretical, and it's an intellectual exercise. The real world is the real world. And there's some conversations you don't want to have in the real world because they don't end up well. So, I mean, you know, I think that's something to give thought to. You know, maybe we can no longer agree to disagree, and we have to find a new way to agree. Maybe that's where we have to pivot.
Yeah, I mean, we both agree something has to change because the path we're going on now, we're not getting solutions. You know, how many times is the government going to be locked up in a deadlock and they can't pass a bill that's going to basically keep the government working? And they're so self-interested that they would rather the government shut down and nothing gets done than to compromise. So something has to be done.
Exactly. And I mean, it's funny you bring that up because I guess within this week, they have to literally agree to fund the government to keep it opening. I think the deadline is sometime this week. And next week, they have to deal with the debt ceiling again. So again, you know, like you said, there are these functional tasks that have to be completed that right now, Congress doesn't seem to be able to work together to complete. And so, yeah, so the conversation was more on a sociological level, just where the average American is, just where our institutions are and our trust in institutions. We're going through a pandemic and we have people that don't trust the authorities dealing with the pandemic and things of that nature. But when you see Congress people on the floor of Congress or in public interviews just literally saying statements, that's just wrong, that's just racist, that's bigoted, that shows no respect, it's harmful. like, where do we go from there? I mean, honestly, the bottom is almost where we're at. Did you hear about the congressman a few, maybe 2 weeks ago, who, I don't know if he was censored or whatever, but he actually had a cartoon where he killed AOC.
I did hear something about that. I didn't hear a lot about it. It wasn't a main story, as far as I can remember, but I did hear something about it. And again, if me and you do that at our jobs, we're fired. They're firing us, and it's a big HR issue. I don't know how this is supposed to be the United States Congress, and we don't have any type of, you know, rules to prohibit such actions.
True. And you make an excellent point in that, except when we do it on our jobs, there is a higher authority that will hold us accountable and basically, you know, go by the rules. And the problem with Congress is that they are the higher authority, right? And they are supposed to go by the rules. And the truth is, we've let the wrong people into Congress. That's the problem. The wrong people have gotten elected. That's one of the problems with democracy. You can vote for whoever you want, and then you're stuck with them. We saw it with the last president, and we see it with members of Congress. You can vote people in Congress that aren't worthy of being there, and aren't going to do the right thing, and then you're stuck with them. So I think that's the difference. Our jobs, so far, we're fortunate that the higher-ups do their job, which is keeping us in line. The problem with Congress is that we've elected people that shouldn't be there.
I agree, but I know I've heard this term before. I don't know if it's still applicable, but there used to be something called the ethics committee. There's supposed to be a certain type of ethics that you should be practicing in that position. And if you violate your ethics, you should have consequences to pay.
Agreed, you should. But again, you need people in the ethics committee to be ethical, right? So what I'm saying is that we've acknowledged that there's different layers to why there's so much discourse in America, so much negative discourse in America. And this negative discourse has gotten to the point where there are people in seats of power, people in areas of responsibility that are not responsible. In fact, on a side note, they're saying that a lot of the people who believe the big lie that Joe Biden didn't win the election, they're running for a lot of different state agencies that count the votes. So they're saying next time around, these people are looking to be in positions of power to do that, not because they're motivated by democracy and by fair elections, because they're not motivated by those things. They're motivated by winning. They're motivated by seeing their tribe win, by, you know, doing what they do for their team. So again, ethics is only, an ethics team is only as good as the people that are on it. And if you get unethical people on this ethics committee, then you're not going to have any ethical outcomes. And that's what's happening. So that's where we are. I mean, that's kind of the state of America right now. For our listeners, we don't need to be too doomy and gloomy, but honestly, there are a lot of people that have been following this and they're scared. And when I say they're scared, they're like, the American experiment is, it's not over, but it's really run up against some rough edges now. If you get some people that don't believe in democracy trying to pull it apart.
What's going on, man? I don't understand it. I want something good to listen to. I demand it. All the real artists are on another planet. And me, I'm the last MC still standing.
Yeah, and I guess that means for the rest of us, we need to run to Canada. They don't want us.
Well, that's funny, because we can run to Canada, we can run someplace else, or we can stay and fight. Right? We can say that, you know what? We believe in American democracy, even if you don't. And we're going to practice it. And that's easier said than done. Trust me, I'm not trying to raise arms or anything like that. But it always seems that the bad people win when the good people step down. And sadly, that's what seems to be happening. Not just, you know, this conversation with us, but it just seems that these people that are making a mockery of the American government, a mockery of democracy, are the ones in power, right? And I mean, Donald Trump is a citizen now. Right? No one should listen to him. Yet he has power over people. But he's still wrong. Right is right and wrong is wrong. He's still wrong, even a lot of people listen to him. And maybe he should run away. Maybe they should run away.
Yeah, that'd be a welcome sight.
Yeah. I mean, it is what it is, but I mean, you know, again, we don't want to end on a sour note and today's topic was agree or disagree. I guess for our listeners, is that still a reality anymore, right? There's been a reality in American politics for a long time. In American society, we agree, disagree. We don't look at everything the same way. We try not to focus on the issues that separate us because we won't agree. So we try to skirt around those issues and focus on the ones that we can't agree on and so on and so forth. But maybe that's just not a case anymore. Maybe we're at a point now where we have to find common ground and we have to focus on those things. I mean, when you talk about abortion, right? That's an issue that you're one side or the other. I think common ground is everybody should be able to make a decision that they have to live with, right? I think that's a fair statement. So what I'm saying is, again, you know, not to get off topic here for our listeners, but I think maybe we can't agree to disagree anymore. I think now we have to find certain understandings that this is what it is and this is what it is, right? You can't storm the Capitol of the United States of America. You can't. You can't. And certainly you can't say you're a patriot when you're doing it. You can't. You can't threaten elected members of Congress to kill them and the vice president and say you're a good American. You can't. You can't. You can't do both. You can't. There's just no way to do both. You're breaking the windows. You're smashing the doors. You're attacking American democracy. And it has to be called out for what it is. We saw with our own eyes on TV. There's no way anyone that took an oath to defend the flag should be okay with that.
No, I agree with you 100%.
Maybe during the course of this episode, we've come to the conclusion we can't agree to disagree anymore. Maybe we have to really find those issues that we have to all agree on. So I guess we can move to our call to action for our listeners because, I guess we can agree to disagree. So what is a call to action for our listeners to find common ground agreements in themselves, with the people they talk to, and just in American society?
Well, my call to action, I'd like people to basically take a view of politics, maybe the way that I look at it. I don't, even though I'm a registered Democrat, I don't just vote only for whatever Democratic policies are out there. I look to see what's going to best serve my family, my community, and those candidates and those people that have those issues at the forefront. That's where I try to, you know, vote and put my, you know, name behind. And I think a lot of people are tied up in Republican and Democrat and what the party lines are, and they want to stay that, not even looking at what's going to be the best course of action for their lives.
Well said. Well said. Well said. That that goes along with my call to action. You know, again, I've always believed that everyone should be an independent and have no party affiliation, and basically just rework the system, right? Just. I don't have a problem with candidates using resources to get their message out there. I mean, that's what you're doing, sort of business. You get financing to start your business. So I don't have a problem with the platforms being used for a certain way. I have a problem with the platforms being used for groupthink. Like you said, people not thinking about issues for themselves. So to take your call to action and to blend it with my own, I think people should really all be registered independents, have no party affiliation, and literally have to make a decision based on a candidate that they like. And again, there are political scientists that are smarter than us and are more knowledgeable than us, and they may say why that doesn't work. But I think in the modern era, when raising money is easier, when speaking to the masses is easier, it may be a time when we get rid of the political party system. For the electorate, again, for the electorate, I'm not saying that, you know, candidates shouldn't utilize it. I'm saying as an electorate, we should just be able to, like you said, identify ourselves as Americans and vote for the person we like.
I totally agree. The one thing I'd like to add is also take accountability. If you are a follower of a particular person or party, in this case, even though we're trying to be all independents, and they do something wrong or they're wrong on a certain topic, call them out for it. don't have to stay behind it and stand behind the party line and go just in that direction because they're going in the wrong direction. Again, if everybody's jumping off a bridge, are you going to jump with them? Or are you going to be like, wait, wait, this is the wrong way to go. We're all dying. You know, wake up and smell the coffee.
No, no, you're right. You're right. I think accountability is a big one. I'm glad you added that to the end. And furthermore, I guess, just to make the point, if all the Republicans or all the Democrats are going to jump off a bridge, but you don't identify with them, right, because you're an independent, then you're not going to jump off the bridge, right? You're going to say, well, I'm not one of those guys. So again, I think, like you said, if we start getting back to individual thought as Americans, and like you said, holding people accountable for the good things they do and the bad, I think that is a step in the right direction for us. So honestly, I do like these call to actions.
Good, good, good.
Yeah, so, a little bit of a hard topic for our listeners, you know, today. Agree, disagree, but it's a necessary conversation because our country is going through a lot. And hopefully the ideas Baby Black put out there and what we talked through is something that we can all take something from. And yeah, I think we should all really rethink the political party system at this point, maybe consider all being independents. And like Big Loop said, we should all think for ourselves and hold all of us accountable for what we do. If you do good, cool. If you do bad, you need to pay for that. Now, you cannot call out a fellow congressperson with a racial statement and have no consequence.
I agree with that 100%.
Cool. So until next time, I am Sean P.
I'm Big Root.
And we are the brothers.
Peace out.
I'm tired of the same rap songs. Every new hit, sing along. Rappers so boring, now correct me if I'm wrong. It's like they took the art out the art form. What's going on, man? I don't understand it. I want something good to listen to. I demand it. All the real artists on another planet. And me, I'm the last MC still standing.